Above my office desk is a photo of the central portion of a massive carved stone reredos from Grace Church in Newark, New Jersey, where I spent 18 years of my ministry. That reredos in total stands 2.5 stories tall, so you can see it very easily from the minute you walk in the building. In the central niche of that reredos is a human-sized crucifix with both St. Mary and St. John standing beneath, she looking upward towards Jesus' face and St. John looking outward toward the onlooker. Christ's body has the elegant slump of death and yet a very peaceful face. Beneath their feet is a relief of the burial of Christ, Mary accompanying the body, two bearers holding the body in a sheet, Joseph of Arimathea holding the torch that lights the way to the tomb. There is a deep quality of care in this reredos, and yet it doesn't speak of resurrection, but rather of offering. Resurrection is what happens beneath these forms. The baptisms that occur, like the one we've had this evening, the marriages that happen there, the ordinations that have occurred in that sacred space, even the funeral celebrations, but of course, perhaps most importantly, the Eucharist daily celebrated at one of the altars in that parish church. Every time I celebrated the Eucharist at the high altar, there I would look up and I would, at each of the elevations of the bread and the cup and the final elevation, would see the burial and the base of the cruciform Christ. I still find a great deal of solace in the carved face and in the curve of the slumped body hanging on that massive cross. The gentle look on his face as if he simply had last whispered, and this is for you, and the you is universal. Here is what I want to say about tonight. To get Easter, to receive Easter in its depth, you have to become familiar with apparent failure. We are at the final of the great 3 days' journey, from the Last Supper to the first Eucharist, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, and yes, the burial. And let's appreciate for a moment what precedes Easter. For all those who surrounded Jesus, it was all over. The Last Supper did not at first make the sense that we make of it today. The arrest and the trial had been a terror. The public crucifixion and hasty burial was shattering of all the hope that they had for this Jesus. It all spoke of failure, a mission not accomplished, humankind's hearts not changed. Jesus lost it all. That is the massive meaning of the crucifixion for those who stood there at that time. We live in a world that doesn't make a lot of space for failure, to notice that it's part of life and part of growth, integral really to who we are. It's often defined not objectively, but subjectively, by a standard that we create or some standard we submit to. Often we have very high standards for life, for what is beautiful in face and body, for who is smart enough and how we measure that, for what spaces are grand enough, worthy or unworthy for our occupation. We demand the perfect job with the right benefits and that we keep it long enough. We advertise for the best cars, best cell phones, youthful skin, flowing hair, but then what would I know about flowing hair? Our children are under such pressure to be well-adjusted, enough sometimes to assure that they will not be. We get what it is to fail, because if we tell the truth by those kind of standards, we do it in spades. If the commercial world is the one we empower to hand out the standards, failure is a given. There is so much more space that we need to create, however, for failure, but we don't do it. We fail, and sometimes we hide it, and sometimes we can't. Always we know there is some space in us that is imperfect by someone's standards. And maybe that's what I came to love about that cruciform Christ. You can't look at it without seeing the world's definition of failure. He has failed everyone's expectations, his disciples, the people he taught and healed, the religious leaders, the politicians in the person of Pontius Pilate, those who befriended his life. And just to prove it, he was crucified. He loses it all, an earthly reward of failure. But we gather here tonight because there was a sudden shift in the unexpected. With the arrival at that empty tomb, the place where the women were fretting about the body that now needed to be embalmed and the large, immovable stone and who would help them out, only they find it strangely moved and a shift occurs. Life happens unexpectedly. Failure is undone. Where they encounter a presence that tells them that Jesus has risen from the dead, and that's a shifting paradigm they have to move into. Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. It's not that he didn't fail by the standards of his day. He really did. And yet they hear, he goes before you. You will see him. The resurrection means many things. It means the worst that we can do, God can undo. It means that God has planted a purpose for our compassionate heart in each and every one of us, if we will rise to it. It means there is an eternal standard for success and failure, and it has more to do with the vulnerable will to love others than our exactness in that enterprise. It means when we come and stand in the company of the crucified Jesus or the risen Jesus, we do not find one who holds too exacting a standard, but rather an invitation to seek a compassionate life, one that we will fail at more times than we will ever want to know. It means we are understood, and there is more to be understood. It means our fragile humanity, with all of its challenges, has been lifted up into the very heart of God, or has always been there, waiting for us to notice it there. It means my failure and your failure connect us to what is eternal. And I am left to wonder, are we more connected by our failures noticed than by all our compassionate successes taken for granted? Perhaps It is in what comes out of our failures, noticed along life's way, that causes us to notice the gift of eternal life. He goes before you. You will see him. When I look at that crucified Jesus, I know my failures are not my undoing. They are often what connects me to God, and I can learn from this Jesus. It is our remaking, and he holds us in his mind, for he goes before you, and you will see him. Amen.